We're just so thankful for both of you. When Jesus came to the well and he said to the woman from Samaria, you know, do you know the gift of God, you know, and you would give me a drink. And I really hope that many pour out a drink offering unto you, Pastor Ted. And Jonathan, when Pastor Ted was talking about being original, you are such an awesome man of God because you're walking in your dad's footsteps, but you're an original. And that's such an awesome example that you're so free to be who you are, walking in someone behind someone else, right? That you don't have to be him. And that really gives us a lot of confidence that you're really free to be who you are. So we love you both for who you are. We love you, Pastor Ted, lots.
Thank you.
We welcome you.
Amen. Thank you. Come on up, God. Come on. Both go up there. We'll kind of get two mics. Thank you, Mark.
This is my son, Jonathan. But he's not just my son. He's also my friend. And he's also my pastor. Because he pastors. You know, it's kind of like marrying your own grandma. So, no, something like that. No. I'm his spiritual father, but he's my pastor. So figure that one out. But it works really well.
How it works.
and so I'm very blessed to have him here. Very blessed to have you here. Realizing that this is a holiday weekend, so you made a sacrifice to come tonight. And we're here tonight on behalf of all of the people in the Kootenays. And so, again, I just lift up the congregations that you represent, the churches that you represent, the pastors that you represent, the things that God is doing in the Kootenays. So we lift those up here tonight. So we've come here as people who are hungry for God. We don't necessarily know what we're doing. We just came here hungry for God, right?
True.
Okay, and we come, I mean, like today, I'm sure that Dan and Mark have probably had a very interesting day. The computer died, and so they battled through that. There's no computer here tonight. But isn't it wonderful how we're still willing to battle through things because we're hungry. So we come through. And thank you so much for wonderful hearts here tonight as we've come together to worship him. And we're going to talk tonight on ancient things and new things, and new things and ancient things, and we're not really quite sure how we're going to do this, but we didn't talk about this, not much. And so I'm kind of starting it out, and then we're going to kind of tag team here. But I've got Jonathan up here with me. Do you want to say anything here at this point?
Okay,
so I believe that God is doing things in the earth. So you are part of congregations. Even if you're here tonight and you're saying, well, I'm not really part of a congregation. I'm not really sure what I'm a part of, because sometimes we get kind of stuck in between. And I really believe in congregations very strongly. I believe in community. I believe in diversity of community. So I believe in the fact that God sends us pastors. He sends us men and women. He sends various things. And so here tonight, this particular church represents a place that the heart of Pastor Mark and Dan here is that there would be a place where this new covenant life and grace, the things that God is bringing in the now season of God, would be made available in the Kootenays for many of the congregations, many of the body of Christ to drink of. And so we've come here tonight for that. And so we're asking God for that expression of that well that this place is, to touch the people of this room. And God, we ask that what happens in here tonight in our hearts would also activate something in the congregations through the various cities of this community.
Yes.
That you would bless Trail and Rosalind and Salmo and Fruitville and Nelson and where else we want? Castlegar, we're in Castlegar. Come on, name a few. There's lots. Come on.
Yeah.
I got Rosalind. We see Rosalind again. Rosalind gets a double. There, Rosalind.
Warfield.
Yeah, come on. Let's go. Come on.
Montrose.
Yeah. Come on. And we'll even include Rivervale. I've heard there's Elvish people that live in Rivervale. So. Are you part of that over there, Rivervale? There's angelic activity over there, because I saw that on Lord of the Rings. It's a little different, but it's close. So we're hungry for God and we want the things. And so we're talking about how do we receive the things, the ancient things of God and the new things of God. So in the scripture, it's a good place to go. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 47. And let's look at something Prophet Ezekiel says. And prophets are funny because when they say things, they say it from the realm of eternity. So you don't know whether they're in the place of now or the place of yesterday or the place of tomorrow, because the answer is
yes. It is.
And I think Jonathan probably might say something in regard to something like that. Maybe he might talk to you a little bit about your options.
Yep.
I know that's in his spirit. But in Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel is brought back to the door of the temple. Okay, where's the door of the temple tonight?
Right here. Heart.
Hey. Yeah. So you have the witness of heaven in you. You got some double doors in you. And Jesus said, swing wide the gates, open up the doors. And so Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, and from inside of you will flow
rivers,
plural, of life-giving water, living water. So we think we want God to meet our needs, but what He really wants is for us to come to Him and for us to become who we're meant to be. Those who bring life to the world. We think we want Him to meet the needs of our families, but what He really sees is we are the gate of heaven. We are a door of life that causes our families to be places that bless the Kootenays.
Yes.
We think we want God to bless our congregations, but God wants us to know that our congregations are places of blessing for the community. And so we represent families and individuals and congregations. And there's not every one of us, but there's some of us. And some of us is a testimony that there's all of us. And so we come here tonight to say, yes, God, we could have done anything tonight, but we came here tonight for this. And so those who are doing the other things, wonderful, 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 we're here on behalf of them also. Thank you, God, that you recruited us to be here tonight.
Yes.
On behalf of our brothers and sisters, so that what you're doing, so some people will never even hear what we say tonight. But Holy Spirit is doing things that are going to be, that we want to be in agreement with. So we're saying, what are you doing now, Holy Spirit? We want to be in agreement with you. What are you doing? And can we open up our hearts tonight to let some living water come out of us that causes dry places, barren places, to come to life? Can we release something out of us tonight? Can we receive the prophet's reward? Can we see what Jesus the prophet sees? Can we all be sons, male and female, of Issachar, discerning the times? Okay? And you don't discern the times by looking at the world, people. You discern the times by looking at the kingdom inside of you. You don't discern the times by looking at what's going on in the news. You discern the times by looking at what's going on in the Holy Spirit. And what's going on in the natural news doesn't agree with what's going on in the Spirit. And what's going on in the Spirit is okay with that, because what's going on in the Spirit is more powerful than what's going on in the natural news. What's going on in your natural environment of your family doesn't always agree with, matter of fact, usually doesn't agree with what's going on in the Spirit. But what's going on in the Spirit is greater than what's going on in the natural environment of your family. Even when you were born into this world, your natural name does not match who God says you are. Because you might have a name like Abram, meaning father of a nation, but God says you're father of many nations, but you got a problem. You and your wife are barren and you can't have any kids. Your name means father of many nations. That's a problem. You might be like Jacob. You might be a heel grabber and you're born to be a firstborn, but you have a problem. You didn't come out first. So I'm telling you, The environment around you doesn't match the environment that's inside of you, but what's inside of you is greater than the environment that's around you.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, we come to the door of this temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Jesus said, "You thirsty? Come to me and drink. And out from inside of you will flow rivers of living water." And this water flows out from the temple, flows out from the temple. Wait a minute. Making sure. Oh, he's in there. He's in there. He said, "Christ in me is the hope of glory." I just check it. He's in there. Anyway, water is flowing out from the temple, the place where Jesus lives, and it flows to the east. In the east, you might not appreciate the east as much as Jonathan and I appreciate the east. Because you live over here in the place, in this sunny place, where like it gets up to like 40 degrees. You know, we don't do that stuff very often. I don't even know if we do that. We do 30s. Maybe we were in the 20s back there. And we have clouds a lot, so we don't recognize what happens in the east quite as much. But you know what happens in the east? It's a new day. The sun comes up. You get that mix up. Maybe we appreciate it more.
Maybe.
Because we don't see as much. We do get paid. But the east means something new. The east means a new day. So Ezekiel says, from the door of the temple, there's water that flows to the east. So there's something always coming out of the doors of the temple that's something that you haven't seen before. Something you haven't heard before. Something you haven't thought before. Something that's different than the darkness that you've been living in. When you get done with a day, you enter into a night, and you should be ready for a new day. And that day is giving to you so that you can enter into another night season so that you can have another new day. Okay, so God is all about new days. He's all about time zones called now. Okay. So what time should it be in your family? Now. What time should it be in your church? Now. What time should it be in the Kootenays? Now. Now, the only way we're going to get to the now is if we see temple doors open and river flowing that flow to the east, or we're going to be stuck with the used to be.
Yep.
So I'm talking tonight. I'm saying let's temple doors. We want water flowing out of our congregations, out of our families, out of our lives, out from us. I'm not here tonight saying, "God, help me, help me, help me, help me." I'm here, God said, "Be seen, be seen, be seen, be seen." Come on. Okay. I want Christ in me. I want Christ in you. The hope of glory to bring glory. I want Christ in me, the hope of glory, to bring glory. Glorious sunshine. Glory. New day.
Yeah.
Okay, so this going to the east. For the front of the temple faced east. In other words, the front of what God is always looking at. What is happening? What is day? What is light? What is life? What is testimony? What is redemption? What is new? What is now? What is life? He's always looking to the east. So the temple, the place that God lives, is always looking to the east. Are you a place that God lives?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
You're a place that God lives?
Yes.
Come on, I know Pearl's a place. She's a place where God lives. He's a place where God lives. For goodness sakes, I see people. God lives here. Which means the direction that we're looking, we are looking to the east. Not the Middle East. The east is right in front of us. Which means we're looking forward. We're looking at happening. We're looking at sunrises, not sunsets. We're looking at sunrises, not sunsets. We're looking at life, not death.
Yes.
We're looking at day, not night. Not looking at ending things. We're looking at constantly seeing new things. Okay? And it says in verse 2, he brought me out by the way of the north gate, which is the presence of God. And he led me around outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running on the right side. The right side is the side of resurrection life. Jesus is on the right hand side of God. So this resurrection life that comes from Jesus is constantly flowing out through open doors. Okay? It doesn't flow through closed doors. It flows through open doors. The doors of our lives. Whoa, I'm a child of God. And something's coming out of me. You're a child of God. And something's coming out of you. If you snuck in here tonight and you don't know you're a child of God, I got good news. You have a father, so you might as well be a child. You already belong. You might as well believe, because daddy's been looking for you. And since you have a father, that would make you a child. You see, he has no problem knowing who he is. He's your father. And he wants you to know who you are. I'm your child. Okay, so I have no problem knowing who I am. I'm father. He has no problem knowing who he is. He's a son. Okay? God wants us to have that revelation. Okay? So when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. Now, that's simply, you could translate that into modern terms, but that wouldn't make any sense. It's a prophetic symbolism. 1,000 is a measurement of eternity. Okay, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That means he owns all the cows. You know, it's not like the 1,001st hill, shoot, that belongs to the devil. And that's why there are no hills in India. That way God doesn't get any of those cows. No, no. God owns all the cows. No, there are hills in India. Sure. So there, I've seen them. So God owns all the cows, 1,000. When he says, with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, he's not saying just a long time. He's saying, my day never ends. You're not children of the night. You're children of the day. Hey, don't be shaken when things shake. It's a mystery, but think about this. With the Lord, a day is 1,000 years. In other words, your day never ends, so don't be shaken when everybody else is done. Did you hear it? Your day never ends, even if you die. Your day never ends. You're children of the light, not the night. He doesn't come like a thief for you. You're children of the day. Your day never ends. So when day's end, when everybody else's day is ending, don't be shaken. My day ended May 12, 1973, for goodness sakes, and I started facing the east.
Come on.
And I started realizing that I'm older than a tree. Because my daddy is not just the Ancient of Days, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Yeah? So I got eternal life. I don't have a ticket to get it. I don't have something on my wall that says, oh, you promised me eternal life when I die. He said eternal life is to know who my daddy is and to know my brother Jesus. And I know that.
Yes.
That is eternal life.
Okay, so he brought me a good, nice, eternal measure here, 1,000 cubits. And then he brought me out through the water. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured another 1,000. The water came up to my knees, another 1,000. The water came up to my waist, another 1,000. And it was a river you couldn't cross. It was so deep you had to swim. And then in verse 6, he says, son of man, have you seen this? So he would say to me tonight, son of man, have you seen this? Are you catching what's happening in the earth? Are you seeing what's happened when the temple gates are open and water begins to flow out from the gates to the east? Do you see what's happening in front of your eyes? It doesn't get less and less. It keeps getting more and more. It goes an eternal measurement, and it's like up to your ankles. It goes another measurement. It's up to your knees. It keeps on going. Now it's up to your waist. It goes up. And finally, you're lost in this thing. It keeps going forward. There's more. My ankles are lower than my knees. which means my knees would be more. It would be more to hit my knees. When I now hit my waist, it's more. By the time it comes to my chest, it's called more. By the time I can't touch the bottom of my feet anymore, that would be more. Okay? So God is always doing more. Okay? God always wants more. He's always doing more. So in the Kootenays, I love what he's done, but I love the fact that he's the one that always does
more.
More. So he's always doing more. Yeah. But I don't, oh boy, I like the, you know what makes the water waist deep? The fact that it was ankle deep first. Yeah, because if it wasn't ankle deep, we got to start over again. I got to get down on my knees to get to my waist if there's no ankle deep first. So the indication is something was really good, but now something's even more. Yeah. Not better, more. Not better, more.
That's good. That's
not
good.
Better, more. Because the water that was up to my ankles was just as good as the water that's up to my knees. It came from the same place. The water that's up to my waist is just as good as the water that's up to my knees. The water that I up to my chest is just as good as the water that was up to my ankles. Oh, don't go just loving the water up to your ankles, for goodness sakes. Come on in, the water's coming. Okay, so some of you are older in Christ like me. Like, I've been around 43 years in Christ. 43 years last May, I was 43 years old in Christ. Okay, you know, 43 years old in Christ and a couple other decades running, so I've been on the planet a while. But 43 years I've known him, and I found out that there's a lot of things he did, and I could get stuck in some of the things that he did.
Yep. Because he liked it.
Because it was really good. Yeah. You ever sing those, you sing that song, the one that God touched you with? And then you walk into a place and they sing that song, and all of a sudden that place is the most holy place on the planet. You know it. Now, the reason it's the most holy place on planet Earth is because you remember the more. And sometimes we got to be careful, because we confuse the memories of the past, the experiences of the past, with betterments than the present. And we judge and measure the anointing or the presence of God based on our familiarity with it. But if it keeps going to new things, to the east, if it keeps going to things I've never seen, heard, or thought before, if it keeps going deeper and deeper, it seems like God wants us to go into the unfamiliar, so that it can become familiar, only to be exchanged for more of that which is unfamiliar. I mean, don't you have your favorite swimming hole? I know you got it around here. Somebody, it's hot today, man. I saw people swimming. I bet some people were going to their favorite swimming place. God's got a lot of swimming places. He's doing things we haven't seen, heard, or thought before. So, now, he goes on in this scripture, Son of man, have you seen this? He brought me back. He returned me to the bank of the river. I returned there, and along the bank of the river there were many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea, that's the world, goes down into the place where decisions are made and fruit is grown and seeds are germinated, goes all the way to the sea, and it reaches the sea, its waters, the sea's waters are healed. In other words, when the waters that come out from the temple touch the salty waters that you can't drink, the salty waters get healed. The world is like this. It looks refreshing. It's wet. You drink a little bit of it, makes you nauseous. A little more of it, makes you really thirsty. Initially it makes you thirsty, then it makes you sick. Then it begins to make you crazy. You start to hallucinate, imagine things, and then it kills you. People in the world think life is in the world, so they take a little bit of the world and it makes them thirstier for more. So they take more of it. I'll try this, and I'll try this, and I'll try this, and I'll try this, until it makes them sick. And then it takes them a step beyond being sick to becoming just crazy, where they imagine that that's normal life, until it finally kills them. That's the world. Okay? God doesn't condemn or judge people in the world. They got enough condemnation and judgment without God adding anything to it. It's called drinking salt water. I mean, God's not going to go to the world and give them Drano. They're already drinking salt water, for goodness sake. He's interested in bringing healing water to the salty water.
He's interested in bringing something that brings healing. He's bringing something. He wants something in the now season
that heals the now realities of the world.
And so, look at this. It says that then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern regions, goes down into the valley, verse 9. It shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. And there will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi to En Elgleim. That tells me what this water is, because En Gedi and En Elgleim are two strongholds on the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is 1 mile below sea level. It's over there in the Middle East. They call it the Dead Sea because it's dead. It's the saltiest piece of water. It's the deadest place. It is, if you want to get baptized in the Jordan, let's just pretend you go into the Jordan and you wash away all your sins. Guess where they end up? The Dead Sea. Everybody that dips in the Jordan, everything that came off of them ends up in the Dead Sea. Okay? Now, God's got a key. He doesn't care how dead it is. What he's trying to illustrate, the prophet's trying to tell you, it doesn't matter how dead it is. It doesn't matter how dead it is in the world around you. It doesn't matter how dead it is in your life. It doesn't matter how dead it is in your family. It doesn't matter how dead it is in your church. It doesn't matter how dead it is anywhere. If you can think of dead, this is deader. Okay? This is a pit. This is a 1 mile below sea level collecting place for death. Now, they say, oh, they found death. But the only thing, life in there, the only thing they found is bacteria, which is another form of, it's a living thing that just kind of bacteria stuff. It's in there. Okay? Yeah, I'm sure they've come up with uses for it, but this is a dead place. And so the prophet is seeing God has an answer to the places of death.
Yes.
And the world is death. So if you said, oh my goodness, I turned on that news and it's getting worse. It's getting worse. I got a solution. I got an answer to it. My news to that is wonderful. Wonderful. You're telling me it looks deader? Fantastic. I got a God who has something that flows from the temple doors that works with the deadest of places. He might even say, well, that's not dead enough yet. Let's get it deader. Deader. Make it dead. Okay. Okay. Then it says, and they'll be gathering in a fish from En Gedi to En Elgleim. En Gedi and En Elgleim are two prophetic symbolisms. One means fountain of goats. The other one means fountain of young calves. Okay. Now, goats represent, a fountain of goat represents happiness. Like that, fountain of goats, I've been, And now, for those of you that are like me, and I,
I grew up in Wisconsin in the U.S. on a dairy farm, and we used to have calves in the stall in the winter, and then we'd put them out in the spring. It was a wonderful country game, especially if you got a good little strand of barbed wire electric fence. It was fun because the game is on. It's called Calves Out of a Stall. Now, there is nothing happier than a calf out of a stall. It even says in Psalms that the testimony of one of the thunders, one of the testimonies of God's grace is that we will be like calves released from a stall. Right? The testimony of God. So this is a place of testimonies. This is a place of happiness and liberty. Happiness and testimony. Okay? Ah, whoa, I like this place. I like this river. These waters are flowing into the deadest of places, and from one place where you're just nothing but happy to another place where you're just nothing but free, this whole environment becomes a place of gathering and of fish as many as the great sea. From a place that has no fish in it. Okay? It has no fish in it. God said, I don't care if there weren't fish before I came. When I showed up, there were all kinds of fish. Oh, I don't care if you didn't get any fish there before. When I show up, there's all kinds of fish. Okay? I think it's time to fish. God wants a whole new batch of fish. Okay? So, and he says, and I'll look at it, he says, they gather the nets, their fish, there are all kinds of fish, like the great sea, exceedingly many, but its swamps and its marshes could not be healed. I don't want to be stuck in a swamp and a marsh. A swamp and a marsh is something that's not salt and it's not fresh. It just kind of stuff. It's stuck. It's not flowing. It's not calling out to be reached anymore. It's just kind of stagnant and stuck. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be stuck in something ancient when God's doing something new. But I don't want to not value something ancient because it's the ancient that brings me to what's new. Because it started out ankle deep. And if I don't have the ankle deep, I can't have the waist deep. And the waist deep is not better than the ankle deep, it's just more. Okay? So what God is doing now is not better than what God did yesterday, it's just more. And it's as wonderful as what God did yesterday, because what God did yesterday had just as much wonderfulness in it as the wonderfulness in now. Just for the sake of human language to try to make a point, and don't be religious on me on this. For the sake of magic, and I'm not talking about witchcraft, that kind of magic, I'm talking about magic. The kind of magic when you fell in love with your spouse, that kind of magic.
Come on.
For the sake of the magic that you got when your baby was born, and the magic of the magic of being a grandparent, the magic of something that's just beyond your thinking. How could that be? They said it was this way, but they lied. It's better. Come on, I know I'm a grandpa. Come on, I know. So the magic of life. Ah. The magic of what God is doing. Okay?
Its swamps and its marshes were not healed. They'll be given over to salt. And of course, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. And they will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be good, will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Now, we're going to look at one other second set of scripture. I'm going to refer to another verse, and then we're going to see what the new has to say. So the ancient is talking, okay? And the ancient and the new are in front of you. Okay, the ancient is really good. But the new is really good. Okay? It's more. Exactly. It's more. You got it. You're listening. Okay?
Okay? The ancient is ankle deep, but the new is waist deep or more. So it's always more. Okay? The ancient, if you look back in what is behind you in the West, there's something ancient. But beyond the West, in the direction that even the ancient should be looking. No one ever looks back. We always face the East. We're facing the, what's God doing? What's God doing? But we never despise what God has been doing, because what God is doing is simply more. Okay? So we're going to hear from the more in a second. But now, in Revelation chapter 22. Now, Revelation is not about... All Scripture is profitable for your way of life. That's called doctrine. We'll translate it. Way of life. Doctrine is a religious word that didn't translate because they wanted to keep your religion. Teaching. Way of life. It's profitable for reproof. The only reproof I know that's worth anything is the proof that's in the pudding, meaning Christ in you. So let's reprove you. Draw Christ out of you. And it's probable for correction, and correction is not about being wrong. You need to be right. That's foolishness. I know a lot of people who die right. I know all kinds of marriages that ended because somebody was right. I mean, nobody ended a marriage because they were wrong. They ended it because they were right. Nobody's ever left the church because they were wrong. They left because they were
right.
Oh, goodness. So no one's ever quit a job because they were wrong. They quit the job because they were right.
Gary.
Hey, now, I didn't say that to condemn us or shame us. I just want to get us out of that right and wrong place into the place, the belong place, the light place. Okay? So, what am I saying here? What was I? Come on now. The more.
Not about being right.
It did not about being right, okay? So, in Revelation.
There you go.
Correction, keeping you in the path of life. It's not making you right, it's keeping you in the path of life. And righteousness is a right relationship with God. I don't need to be right, I just need to be in a right relationship with the one who always knows how to work it out right. And then it'll even change my heart. Okay, now, some of you know me, and you've seen me, and you notice I'm a little smaller than I used to be, right? Okay, so I'm 22% less. But inside of me, I'm more. The outward man is 22% less, but the inward man is more, right? So, but the reason I'm 22% less is because of more. Okay? Because a year ago, right now, I was teaching a healing class, and God wanted to heal a root cause in my life, a root problem in my life. He wanted to give me more of something. Okay? I was on blood pressure medicine and taking other medicines. And God changed my desires simply because first I got ticked off at a doctor. No, you've never done that. But I got ticked off at a doctor. You know what? He was a kid. I'm an old man. He was a kid and he's gone to medical school, but I've been around this in my first rodeo. Come on. He didn't even open my file. He doesn't know who I am. I'm a number. I'm just a number. And he diagnosed me wrong.
He didn't value the things ancient.
He didn't value the ancient thing. Now my old doctor, who retired, what happens when you get old? Your friends retire, and then you gotta find somebody new. But what happened was God gave me a desire to change my lifestyle. I suck at doing what I'm told. I don't know about you, but I'm terrible at doing what I'm told. Do you know why? I'm not a dog. I mean, a cat is even better at doing what I'm told than I am. You know why? I'm not. Now, that doesn't mean I don't decide to want to do what I'm told. But I've raised children, and I found that when children want to, it's easier than when they pretend they want to and they don't want to.
That's true.
Human beings make terrible slaves. If you put them in slavery, at some point they're going to revolt. Or they're going to create, they're going to carry. Now, I'm not advocating rebellion. I'm not advocating never being in a place of connection and boundaries. Without boundaries, we're a flood. With nothing but boundaries, we're simply a pool in a lake going nowhere, just recreating. With no water and boundaries, we're just a rut. Kicking the ends, we're a grave. But water with boundaries makes a river. So I want boundaries in my life. But I don't want boundaries that are passionless. I need passion. I need a desire. So God gave me a desire to change my lifestyle. So I changed how I was eating. I changed what I was eating. I changed what I was doing. I had to quit taking medicines. I'm not taking any meds anymore. My blood pressure used to be 200 over 110. It went down to 106 over 60 because of medicines when I changed my lifestyle, and now it's 120 over 70 with no medicine. I'm not saying if you're taking medicine, you're doing wrong, because if you need to take medicine, wonderful. I'm glad for the practitioners, but they're not as old as God.
He knows more.
He knows more. And he says, if he doesn't say, then do what he said. I mean, I remember when Jonathan was young, his mama told him to go take his allergy medicine, and he got upset. What did God tell you when you went and prayed? Do you remember? No, you don't remember that? Your mom said, well, you go and pray. If God, he said, why doesn't God heal me? He was upset. And so his mom said, well, you go pray whatever God says. I'm good with that. So he came back, getting his medicine. And his mom said, well, what did he say? He said, I was supposed to listen to my mom.
It's a good lesson.
So, Revelation, what I'm trying to say is going to be, this revelation here is not about end times. You were told that, it's because they made the book irrelevant. Serious.
Yeah.
Because it has to be profitable from the moment it was breathed. It has to be profitable for every human being's way of life. It has to be profitable, bring Christ out of them, keep them in the path of life, keep them in a relationship with God, so that they'll be complete, equipped and complete, equipped for every good work. It had to work for the blacksmith 1,000 years ago. It had to work for the shepherd and the shepherdess. Always had to work. It had to be something that was real, or we read it wrong. It's a revelation of a person. It's a revelation. The word apocalypse means it was hidden. It's not hidden anymore. That's what the word apocalypse means. It doesn't mean death, doom, gloom. In your dictionary, it means death, doom, gloom, because you read divine conflicting word. The Greek word means it was a secret. Not a secret anymore! Okay, so Revelation 22 isn't at the end. It's been real ever since Jesus, the one who is, who was, and will be, revealed something that cannot be stopped. Okay, so now I'm coming from that context, Revelation 22, verse 1. Ready?
Yeah.
And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. What? I thought I read that verse already. Where did I read that verse?
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel 47, didn't I? Okay. And in the middle of its street. Now, some translations try to change that to in the middle of the city street, because the previous chapter talks about a city. But the previous chapter is talking about a revelation of Jesus Christ concerning this community that's coming into us. This chapter is talking about a revelation of Jesus Christ concerning this river that flows out of us. So guess what? The river is a street. That means it's 1,000 to your ankle, but it's a street. It keeps going forward in a street, like a street. It's a destiny. It goes ankle deep. It goes waist deep. And ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, it's simply always more. Okay? So there's a street, there's a destiny. It's going somewhere. It's bringing something into the earth. Okay? There's this river coming from the throne of the Lamb of God. Where is the throne of God? Where's the gate of heaven? Where do angels come from? They ascend, descend. Okay. Where does revival come from? Right in here. Out of here. That's where it comes from. Where is the now thing coming from? Right in here. It's not coming. It's not like, it's not on some airplane flying into the region. God's delivering it. It's right here. It's right now. It's in the place of more. Ha. Okay? So this river is flowing. Now, I'm going to give you an indication of what the more. Whoa, here we go. I'm going to give you an indication of how you know it's more. And how you know to recognize what was and what is and what will be.
Okay.
Because the context of every revelation in Revelation is what is, what was, what will be. Okay? So there's a more in the Kootenays tonight.
Yes.
Come on.
There's a more in your church tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, the more is not in this church and not that church. The more is in every church unless you're not in that church.
Yeah. That was a good one. Go on,
because
hear
the
it.
River flows from the temple, and I thought you were the temple. That's what I thought. So,
yeah.
But the doors have to open. Ah, the doors have to open. My goodness, if everybody's doors open, nobody'd be able to stop the more.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You got wonderful pastors and leaders, and they got doors, and they're opening up. The more, you should open up more too.
Yeah.
Come on. And if we all just open up the gates, we open up the doors, not to cause trouble, just to bring more.
Yeah.
Now, how do we know it's more?
Here we go.
So it proceeds, verse 2, in the middle of its street on either side of the river was the tree of life.
What? Wait a minute. This is weird. John, you're as weird as Ezekiel. Because I go in the middle of the street, which I've already told you the river's a street. In the middle is a tree, to the right is a tree, to the left is a tree. That's a big tree. In other words, you can't get around this. Before this river gets another flow forward for more, it flows through a tree first. And what tree does it flow through? The tree of life. It doesn't flow through the tree of who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't flow through the tree that judges what's right and what's wrong. When God does something new, you're going to think it's wrong. You know why? You haven't seen it before.
Right.
I mean, I've eaten things called chia seeds. I didn't even know what chia seeds were. I didn't even know chia seeds. Weird people with chia seeds. They're pretty good. I mean, I'm surprised. I travel around the world. I see lots of foods. I eat stuff that, my goodness, I would never have thought of eating that. Some things I pick up and I wonder, I would think of this. Who's the first person that did that? No, that was a hungry person that tried that. You know what? It's pretty good. You got to be hungry to try some things.
Yep.
Ooh, did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
I mean, they got a thing in Portugal called a percebish. Okay? I don't know what they are in English. You literally translate it, it means understanding. Okay? They probably grow around, they look like a radiator hose. They grow, they're an animal that grows like a plant in the rocks, and they look like this long, they look like a horse clam, you know, or a radiator hose. When you snap off the head, you pull out the center, you can probably fix your car with what's left. And you eat the inside of it, and it's sweet, tastes like the sea. It's called a percebish. And you eat a lot of these. They got moss on the outside of them, and I know which ones to eat, which ones not to eat. Some of them hit the wrong one, it's not good, but they're really sweet and wonderful. But, you know, I wonder, when I've eaten those. I eat them a lot. I eat snails, you know, I love snails. You get the good ones where you have to hit them on the block of wood until the goody falls out the bottom. There's a little caramel goody right at the bottom of the snail. More!
More!
Now, you might think, some of you are repulsed by my percebish and my snails. But you see, you don't know because you never ate them. You don't know. But you know what? They're really good. Now, I do question, who was the first one? And I know the first one that did that was somebody who was hungry. So if you want more, you got to be hungry.
Yeah.
If you want what God is doing now, you want more, you've got to be hungry. Because some things look like a perceiving. Some things look like a little caramel goody in the bottom of a snail, man. You don't know. What would you ever try that? I mean, think about this. Cheese. I mean, who was the first one with that? You pick it up. Oh, that smells like, you say it smells like cheese? You don't say it smells like cheese. You say it smells like something else. I know what you say. But somebody was hungry enough to try that. You say it smells like that, but my gosh, that's pretty good. Let's make some more.
I love cheese.
So, it flows through the tree of life. That means anything that God does is going to produce life.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. And it's going to be measured by life. Life. If it tastes like life, smells like life, feels like life, sounds like life, is the experience of life, and life happens, it probably is life.
So now, we can take this into many ways. It has to do with how I look at things. I don't measure things by who's right, who's wrong. I'm always looking at how do I bring life. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink, and out from inside of you will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. To give, to give, to give, to give, to give, to give. You can't be getting when you're giving. You can't be going around, well, why didn't they give me? If you're busy giving, you wouldn't know they gave you or not, because you're just giving. Living. Living, giving, giving. I get it. Sometimes it gets a little plugged and you need someone to help you, but you shouldn't be plugged all the time. I mean, there should be an open door. You were born to be loved, for goodness sake. So be loved, and now show it.
Unplug it.
Okay, now, and then, of course, it goes on to say, and there was a tree of life. It bore 12 fruits. That means every month it's different. Every month it's more. Every month it's new. Okay, and the purpose of fruit, what's the purpose of fruit?
That's what eating and reproducing. In other words, fruit is not ornamental. It's not like, hey, look at my fruit. Don't I have some nice fruit? No. Fruit is someone else eats it and it makes them come alive. Someone else eats it and their eyes brighten.
Yeah.
Or seed gets sown and there's another generation. So it's food for eating, seed for sowing. That's fruit. Your life is meant to be food for eating and seed for sowing. You should like it. When you get to know me, I know I'm a little freaky at first, and some of you are freaked out with the fact I'm a cactus, okay? I'm a little prickly, I get it. But if you're thirsty, you'll realize that if you're in a dry place, I mean, if you're not in a dry place, don't worry about me. But if you're in a dry place, I could be a secret for you.
Come on. That's right. Come on. I want it.
So don't be offended by my pricks. Get past my pricks. And sometimes you need a few pricks to wake you up to show you how dry the place is that you're in. All right? Just like
true.
Now, okay?
True.
I know who I am, and I'm all right with it.
Okay, now. But if you get to know me, and you become my friend, you'll actually like seeing me come.
Excited.
You know, I mean, we were sitting up at Gary and Marilyn's house. I'm staying at Gary and Marilyn. And we were in their house this morning. And, you know, it's like, not only did Jesus show up this morning, I mean, for coffee and for fruit. We had some fruit. We were some fruit. Not only did Jesus show up, but for goodness sake, Gary showed up. And that was good, too. I mean, he made me come alive. I just came alive. Because he brings life. And so fruit brings life to people.
Yeah.
Okay. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So if this in Revelation 22 is the end of the world, why in the world do we need to heal sick nations?
Yeah. Come on,
yeah.
Why do we need fruit? They're hungry. Why do we need to heal something? In other words, this has been going on since the time Jesus enacted it as reality. Ever since he said, come to me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. There's been a river that's flowing as a street through a tree of life to bring fruit every season. Every season is more. Every season is new. Every season is different. And it makes people come alive, and it provides seed for another generation. And it brings healing to sick nations, like Ezekiel, so that the deadest of seeds will come to life, and there's a gathering in the fish, like the fish of the great sea, from the banks of that which is really happy to that which is really free, and life is happening. And it goes on to say that that river, in that river is life, in that river is the lamb is in that river. There's no light of day because the lamb is in it. Where? In the river. Not in the world, but in the river. Okay, where do you get your light? You get your light from what's flowing out of you. Okay? So, in Matthew 13, verse 52, it says this. A scribe concerning the things of the kingdom of heaven is like a householder or head of a family who draws from his treasure things new and things old. The word new there is a Greek word that means things never seen, heard, or thought before. And the word old there means things antique and lost before your time. So tonight, scribe, now it's not, describing the kingdom of heaven is not what you can write about God, it's what you can allow God to write in you. So tonight, if we're going to be those who allow God to write in us, what are you doing? We're going to have to be like scribes in the kingdom, where we allow the Holy Spirit to write, and we're going to draw from our treasure things that haven't been seen, heard, or thought before. But we're also going to redeem some antique and lost things before our time.
Yeah.
So now I represent, I'm going to say I represent, let's say, knee-deep water. I'm giving myself a little measure of more. I think I've lived through some ankle deep. And now I'm going to say I'm like the head of a house who drops my treasure things new, never seen, heard, or thought before, and things antique and lost before my time. But because this river is continually going forth, God does things in a multi-generational way. So here we come. Here comes waist-deep water. Okay? And so, now, I have a theory. If I immediately like something, it means it's old. I've got white hair here. Okay? I was in Spain in a hotel, and they had some music on. They were playing Jumpin' Jack Flash. And I walked around the corner, Jumpin' Jack Flash, and nobody but white-haired people were on the dance floor. And I got a revelation. Jumpin' Jack Flash, he's old. Now, new people who have gray hair understand what I just said. Okay? Because inside here, Jumpin' Jack ain't old, but he's old, okay? I mean, some of you can still kind of run, you know what I'm saying? So, what I'm saying is, if I immediately like it, I'm in danger of being stuck in a swamp or a marsh. Okay? And now I've told the young generation that if they like everything, it means it's not ancient. And they're in danger of not being more of what's in the street. So, Jonathan, I'm going to turn it over to you now and see where you take it.
Awesome. So I just want to share my heart just a little bit first. Most of you don't even know who I am. So I have a heart. I feel like I'm kind of like a bridge. I have a heart to connect people to what God is actually saying. So a lot of times God's saying something and you're like, yes, it's good. But then you go back to tomorrow, today, to where you go back to life and you're just like, I don't know how to bring that into my life. I want to bring that into my life. So I have a huge passion to help people connect what God is saying. I know Gary's got the same heart. I want to connect what God is saying to reality, to people's lives. And so I pray that Jesus did that in ways that no one has ever done before. And so I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be a leader like Jesus, and I want to be a son like Jesus. So that's my heart. So now you heard my heart. I wanted to say that I'm pretty impressed. There's a lot of hungry people in the room. This is what I wrote before you did this. Of course, when you have a prophetic dad, you can't keep any secrets. Okay. So I just want to say I can tell you would not be here if you weren't hungry. So you are hungry people. Dick and Pearl, you would not be here if you weren't hungry. That means you're hungry. And hungry means you already want more. I wrote this already. And hungry means you already want more. So this means you're not stuck, are you?
Nope.
You're not stuck here. I'm just going to say that out. You are not stuck. If the fact that you're here, if you were stuck, you would be at home hopeless, not trying to look for more.
Good word.
So you're not stuck. You're here because you're looking for more. So here's the challenge. My taste buds only know what I like at this point. My brain only knows what my taste buds like, the things I've tried. So let me give you just a funny, weird example, okay? I love movies. I love movies. And I've got two little girls. I've got a 5-year-old girl and an 8-year-old girl. And they love movies. Now, kids are interesting. Finding Nemo was played 100 times in my house. So I have a desire for my kids to want more. Okay? True, right? Not more of Nemo, more. There's more movies out there. I can quote most of Nemo. I have got to have another movie. I think that's Father's heart. I really do. I don't think that's just my heart. I think that represents what God is like to us. So I learned what my girls like. I have discovered that I am pretty good at picking movies they will like before they know they like them. So the challenge is, when you're eating something you like and you have lots of it, it's really hard to be hungry. But the good news about this area, there's a lot of things not being provided anymore. That was. So now you're hungry. So God has set you up to want the new thing. So God is going to bring something new, but I promise you, when you first try it, it's something your taste buds have not tried before. So you have to be open to, am I going to like this? So here's a challenge. I lead my girls into the movie. I lead my girls into food. Me and my wife, we don't talk. I don't tell my girls the foods I don't like in my house, because my taste buds weren't very big. When I met my wife, I had a pretty small diet, and it was not good for me. But my wife had a variety of things she liked, and we discovered we liked to try things around. We kept finding the more things, the new things that were better for us. Our body actually started liking us for liking more things. Okay, but we didn't know that. We thought we were, I don't know what we thought. We thought we were being healthy, and we were not being healthy. Still to this day, we're learning more and more about health. And there's things that I actually like, and I haven't tried the snail thing and that other funky thing that he's eating. I'm going to have to trust my dad that he's going to lead me into. But here's what we do. We didn't say, is that gross? We asked, isn't that good? And then they had to decide. They had to think. If I say, is that gross? Do you like it? Do you not like that? Or I could say, do you like it? God leads us into things by the way he asks things. He doesn't say, do you not like that? He doesn't lead you in and out. He wants you to actually assess it for real. And he's not going to give you a facial expression like, when you're chewing it. He's going to be blank. Because he wants you to decide on your own. Okay, yes. But you've got to actually think about it, not just assume you don't like it already. So I would have to say, for the most people, change is hard. And trying a new thing, you're already kind of wanting to reject it. Because you almost feel bad that you're not going to eat tater tots anymore. Who eats tater tots anymore? Why did I say that? Whatever. What's your favorite food? Say it's nachos, right? So you almost feel like you're going to miss out on nachos. Because you're cheating on nachos with something new. But God is offering something new to this area. And it's not
a lack of honor or a lack of value to like the new thing. It actually values the old when you like the new. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay, so with my girls, I coach them. So guess who helps us recognize that there are more things out there? People who have tasted more things. Yeah? So you just heard chia. I've not had that either. I've had a lot of weird things, but not these things. So he's tasted things that we haven't tried yet. So we're going to trust what he's saying. And we're going to go, okay, I want to try that. I'm going to be open to that. So people help other people taste new things. You're going to help the people in this area taste new things. And you might be not confident. You might be like, you know, I'm not sure that they're going to like it or not. Matter of fact, you might have thoughts in your mind, they're not going to like this new thing because it was hard for me to like this new thing.
Yeah.
Don't lead them that way. Lead them, you know what? Hey, this stuff is good. Taste and see. Be confident that they will come to the conclusion that you came to. Maybe it took you longer than they will. It'll speed up if you lead them into it. Be confident that what you have is God. It's good? Okay. So I want to tell you some of the practical challenges that I see faced in things ancient and things new. So we at my church, we're trying, we have an older generation and a younger generation. We have mostly grandparents and brand new parents at our church. We're missing the 40s and the teenagers mostly, but we have some. But we have lots of grandparents and lots of young, brand new parents, or parents that are about to be parents for the first time. Lots of that age, okay? So I said, okay, the young people really want to be relevant to the world, right? We want to be relevant. We want to be value, and we want to value what's real, and we want to be vulnerable. We want us to see outside the church and go to the what's outside in the community. And the older generation values what God did a lot. They value what God did, and we're supposed to value both, okay? So I thought, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to do a park day. And we decided to have worship service in the church first and then go to the park. And we're just going to be together, but our goal is we're not going to do worship at the park. We're going to be at the park and have fun, but try to include people that are just at the park to have fun with us. Okay, that was the goal. So I show up to church, and the church is full of old people. And they're upset that we're stopping worship. We show up at the park, and most of the young people are already there waiting for us. And I was like, what? This is crazy. It's supposed to be both. Why is this? And so God asked me at that time, he said, are you willing to help marry things ancient and things new? And I said, yes, that's what I want. I want things ancient and I want things new. There's things ancient and new that God wants both together. It's not if or, it's both and. That is a phrase that will save your life right now. It is not if or, it is both and. That is a great thing, because if or is dangerous. People who speak if or language, when you find the new thing, you disclude the old. Because you speak in absolutes. So, but if you're speaking and you're loving the old things, you speak in things that nothing new can happen, because what old is only what matters. It's if or in your mind. It is not if or, it is both and. That is a great phrase. Matter of fact, you will find that almost every disagreement you have with people, if you can think both and in your mind, you'll recognize, wait a minute, they're right and I'm right.
Come on, that's a good word.
That's right.
You won't just recognize, because what you're thinking is, in order for me to be right, they have to be wrong. That's what we think. I do that. When we're arguing, I'm like, I think, no, I got to be right. I got to stand on what God has told me. But guess what? God's told them something too, and we all see in part. No one sees in whole. So we all see in part. So guess what? The only way I can see that other part is for the other person to tell me what they see. Is that fair? So that'll save your life. It's not if or, it's both and. And you'll find that we actually talk in language, we talk in absolutes. This way is the right way. We talk that way without even thinking about it. Because God gave us a revelation. We're like, yeah, God, Jesus loves us. And that's the revelation God did say. And they'll say the new revelation is Jesus likes us. It has a different impact. It's not Jesus likes us and doesn't love us anymore. It's both. He likes us and he loves us.
Come on.
You hear it? So this is the language that God is asking us to do. So one of the things I wanted to tell you, so he's talking about more the ankle deep or knee deep to waist deep. Jesus said, even greater things you will do. Some translations read, even greater works you will do. That word works was added. It actually says, even greater you will do. It's not things, it's even greater. It's more. Even more you will do. If you don't like this, if young, there's not a lot of young people in here, but young people, if you think you have to start over, you're going to not be more. You'll be either the same or less. Because the way Jesus thinks is, he's not a start over God. He redeemed you and me, didn't he? He didn't start over. The next generation wants to start over and throw away what was, because you guys were lied to and you were hurt and they don't like it. So they want to start over. I'm not going to go to school and work a job, because the job's not going to be there 30 years from now. You guys are pretty lucky. You live in a town where this job has been here for a long time. Most of the world, jobs don't last but 20 years, maybe 10 years. Companies close down left and right. So the younger generation is going, I'm not going to trust that. I'm going to go do my own thing. So garbage people electrical people and different people, those industries are dying, because everybody just wants, the young generation just wants to do what they want to do. But here you have a rich thing here. You have a company that's been here for 100 years, right? How long has this company been here?
Yeah,
125 years. There is a richness in this area. There is a valuing things ancient. So let's just look at the plant. He was just telling me that the trees used to be dead on the hill. And because the things ancient, they were bringing value. But guess what? Things new, it married things new, and they changed. They adapted. Most companies can't do that. There is richness here. There is something here that is willing to adapt the things ancient and the things new together. It's amazing. So I can feel that God is getting ready to give you more. But you're going to taste. You're going to taste. You got to be willing to taste the next thing. I can feel it in my spirit. There's willing to. You want to see someone gets excited about more? These guys up here on the front, they're Jimmy and Lori and they're gonna. These guys are gonna be like crazy about the new things, right?
Yeah.
So they're excited. They're first adapters. But this area is a loyal area, and loyal people adapt slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you care about what was. So the God says, good job. I value that you care about what I did. That moved God's heart. He's really proud of you for valuing what he did. But he wants you to value what he wants to do now.
Come on.
Okay, so I'm going to give some advice that I got that I think is fantastic advice. And I'm going to just explain something. So he said something briefly. I had all this in my notes already. This is hilarious. So songs, I believe songs are interesting. If you're ever on a vacation or you're having there's a certain time in your life, maybe it's when you're falling in love, there's a certain time in your life a song was played and it kind of described that moment for you. So every time you hear that song again in your life, it brings you right back to that feeling, right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So songs hold emotion, they hold a memory. So here's what happens though, as human beings, that we tasted something we like and we like to go back to it again and again. So we try to stay in that past memory, we listen to that song because we want to go back. But what we don't realize is what caused that song to cause that in our lives in the first place. So I'm going to share a story. I don't even know where it is in the Bible, but it's a story of the Ebenezers. It's when the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant across the river. They're going into the Promised Land. And they start to carry the cross and the river stops. Who knows how far up it stopped? They don't know when it's coming down. They can't see the water. They don't know if God's just, and they stop there and they say, hold on, we're going to get 12 stones for every tribe, one stone for every tribe, and we're going to set them up, and they call them Ebenezers. They're these stones to remember what God is doing today.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. They are standing in the water. They don't know when the water is going to come back. It's scary to stand in the middle of a river that you don't know how miraculously it stopped. You're standing in the middle of, oh, this water could just uncap right now. This water could just undam and it could come down the water and take us out. Okay, and then they go out, and then those stones were there so that the people who were after them would ask, what do those stones mean? Oh, this is what God did in our lives. So it's a remember when covenant at that time. That's not God's idea. God's idea is, I need you to be in the situation you were when you were crossing the Jordan, where you don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, come on.
That's when I moved for you.
Yeah, come on.
But they were just telling the story of what God did instead of telling them to do that very thing now. Let's trust God now in what we don't know what's next. Then we get to tell our kids stories and then encourage them to do the same thing. Let's go to the unknown and not know what's happening next and let God change us. Instead of
This is what God did. And then we all look to the past and God did that then. God did that then. God did that then. And then it starts getting less and less loud. And nobody knows God now. The same thing with music. So God did that then. He told me some advice on my wedding day. He said, son, today is going to be your worst day of your marriage. I'm like, what? He goes, it's a really good day. You're getting married. But this is the worst day of your marriage. It's going to get better and better. Okay? But he says, but you got to remember one thing. Today, you're present. Live for your first love. And what this means, but this is how I took it. I got to live fully now, fully with my wife, today, and the next day, and the next day. And that's how it becomes the best moment of my life again. If you want to know how to make a song make an impact on your life, be fully present.
Yes. Yeah.
So we love the old church songs. They come up and it moves us because we were fully present when that song first played and God was touching us. So we try to go back to the past to let God touch us again. He's not there anymore. He's now. That's what God did, but God is actually right now. So I'm asking you to be fully present. God wants to do something now, and it isn't what he did, but he's really proud of you for loving what he did. He's really honored by this place. There's a special spot in God's heart for this place, for this area, because you love what he did. But now he's asking you to be present so you can love what he's going to do, and then you'll love what he did again, and then again, and then again. So there's going to be new songs, there's going to be all kinds of new things that are going to, brand new experiences. You're like, I have no idea there was more. I had no idea there was like this. You're going to find that you really love what God is doing now. Some of you are reaching for the forward things because you despise what was. There's some in the room that are saying, I want what's new because I can't stand what was anymore. I can't stand what was anymore. You won't be present. You got to go, okay, God, I thank you for what was. And I want what is. There's a reason you want what's coming. There's a reason you want the new thing. It's because you're called to help the people who can't let go and move forward. But if you're despising what they're hanging on to, they're not even going to look to you.
That's right.
So you've got to love what God did in their life like it happened to you. And then you help them come forward with you to the new thing. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So the if or thing was the last thing I'm going to say. Not if or. We often talk in absolutes. I talked about that. But there are the both and is a huge key for what we're going to do. So it's not what God did and now he's going to do the new thing and it's not the old thing anymore. No, it's both and.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some challenges. I'm going to tell you the story that happened that was positive at the church. Okay, so this is 3 years after we did the park day, about maybe 2 years after we did the park day. I decided on Labor Day? What was the first day of? What was the ski to see? What day is that on? Last Sunday of May.
Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day for us. We have a Memorial Day and the last Sunday of May in the U.S. And that day, they have a race in our city from the top of the Mount Baker all the way down to the bay. And they do it on Sunday mornings. And last year, God told me, be part of what the city's doing. So I'm getting nervous. I'm going, okay, here we go. This is the new thing. I'm going to close church down on this Sunday, and we're going to go serve our city. And God gave me a strategy. He said, there's three things I want you to do. So we had the first thing is we're going to serve the race. We're going to get a bunch of people and say, we want to help you with the race. What can we do to help? Anything. Clean up. And so they put us on duty to help the mountain biker race. So we were actually helping them in the race and helping, and we were encouraging the bikers, you can do it, you can go. So that was one thing. The second thing was a booth. We bought a booth in the market afterwards, the celebration market part, and we're going to do a healing booth. So we did a spiritual healing booth. And we're going to have people, we're going to pray for people and see them get them healed. And it just said, want prayer? And that's all we had, a booth with people in there ready to pray for people. And then the second, we did another booth. We had a booth called City of Hope. And we made these t-shirts because we're trying to help our city recognize that it is a city of hope. It's a city of hope because I live there.
Right.
It's a city of hope because the people I'm around, they live there. So we carry hope. So it's a city of hope. We're here, aren't we? So we were spreading the word and people loved it. People absolutely loved it. So everybody had something to be part of. And I was expecting the same fight again. I was expecting to hear, oh man, I can't believe you would close down church for a city. What about God? I was expecting that fight. I was expecting this the old people to come at me one way and the new people to come at me another way. Why do we do a prayer booth? Why can't we just have fun? I was expecting, and that's not what happened at all. What happened was everybody had fun. And I heard from at least hundreds saying, I cannot believe you would close your church down to serve your city. That's things ancient and things new coming together. So that's just something that can happen. This is something that God's going to do. And it's not, I don't despise worship. I don't despise prayer. I want worship. I want prayer. And I want to be in the community.
That's right.
I want to be relevant and I want to be serious.
Yeah.
I want to be psycho-spiritual weird that God did. And I want to be grounded and real to the people.
Yeah.
It's both and. So that's all I have to say. I think that this is I think you guys are set up to be, God has set you up. You're here and you're hungry. This means you want more.
Yeah.
So more is coming. Don't reject the first thing that God puts in your mouth. Be ready to, okay, I like this. And be ready that you are the more that people are going to want. You're the more. Okay? Maybe. Okay, yeah, maybe I should prophesy over a couple people, huh? You two, right here, you got some spiked hair, like kind of like me. Yeah, you must be pretty smart. I just see God talking to you guys, so... You've seen what's wrong with the church for a long time. And it's bugged the crap out of you. Okay? And it's been hard not to reject it. It's been hard to be present. It's been hard for everything. But God says, I let you see that because you're the difference. So when I was saying to the new people, don't reject what was. That's my challenge to you. Don't reject what was. God loves what was. But He also loves what He showed you. And you're the ones that are going to help them lead. But there's a strategy that God's going to give you two specifically to help people grasp the new thing. And it's not just getting away from the old thing. It's somehow it's marrying to the new thing and the old thing. And there's I can't tell you the strategy. I don't know what it is. But I know you see it. And I know you know it. And it's bugged you. And it's been a place of pain in your life. And God said that place was never... I never showed you so it would be painful. I showed because I knew you were the answer.
Come on.
It's not, someone else ain't going to do it for you. Someone else isn't going to come happen. God says, I believe in you. I showed you because you two are the ones. You've got it. You've got it. And I see a strategic thinking coming from you. And I see you. I feel you feel things. You're navigating. But you've got the thinker on you. You can see the strategy. You're going to be able to see the strategy. And she's going to help you navigate through what others are feeling. You can't just plow through. It's not going to work. You need to be able to navigate through this thing. But you two have got this. God, you've got this. He believes in you. And he knows he's not hurt. And you've not done anything wrong. Okay, and God is sorry that it's hurt you, but He's not sorry He let you see it because He still believes that you two are the ones to bring new things.
Good word.
Not yet. Not yet. I'll watch. Okay,
so my heart is that we receive what God is doing now, and we value the things that God did yesterday. We enter into this place of more. God's a God who is a multi-generational God. He wants to change the dynamic. He wants to change the he wants to change the dynamic of the congregations. He wants to change the dynamic of the church because He wants to break the repetition patterns that say it's new and now it's old. Now it's old, now it's new. And there's not a continuity that transitions. And I'm speaking forth right now that God is releasing a grace in the congregation. Not a congregation, but the congregation. We're in a season called now, and in the season called now, there's a grassroots revolution in planet Earth. Which means God is raising things up from the roots. And that's not intended to be a rebellion from leadership. It's intended to be an enhancement of all that God would put in leaders' hearts, because leaders are leaders, to lead. So we don't need to be a leaderless church, but we need to be a grassroots revived church so that each one does their part. There's a revolution. Planet Earth right now. And God is restoring some things in this season. And one of the things that He's restoring, more than restoring from things that we've lost, restoring from things that He's seen that we've never seen. His restoration doesn't come saying, you've lost some things, I want to give it back to you. What He's saying is, there's some things lost that you never even knew were lost. I've known they were lost, but now I'm restoring them. So don't look to see the things that you lost be restored.
Yeah.
Look to the things that God says He's seen as lost be restored. To you they're new, to Him they're old. Huh. And He's releasing, one of the things is He's restoring His speech, which has never been in the mouth of His church. But it's been in the heart of God. And so He's restoring this thing of passion and compassion. He's restoring a thing of fire, and He's restoring a thing of tenderness. He's restoring an open thing. He's restoring a grace where you can see to the deepest place and you can have passion and compassion. The world, the sea, is crying out for what God is doing. They don't know there's a God who's doing it. But you're the people who know God. Do you know He's doing it?
Wrong.
The thing that they're crying out for is they're crying out. There's a generation right now that's crying out. And so there was a movie that I watched. And I hated because I know what's right. And so I watched the movie Avatar. Like Avatar, because it makes people that I know as friends look stupid, it's new agey, Mother Earth, and God says to me, watch it again.
Okay.
And then He says, watch it again. And I've watched it several times. And there are several things in there that God wants to say, because, you know, people in the world, when they create movies, they're just grasping out into the airwaves and catching things, and they don't get it right. For goodness sakes, they don't know God. Hey, for goodness sakes, don't expect people who don't know God to think like God. And please, please, please don't measure people in the world by what's in your heart. And please, don't measure even politics, whether it's in America or Canada or anywhere else, by what's in the heart of God. Can you expect kings of the world to know what the heck they're doing? Just believe that they just might partner with what God's doing without knowing. I already got Jesus as king. I'm not looking to elect Jesus. Can we be people passion, compassion? And in the Avatar movie, there was a phrase. Two creatures. One creature had to become an avatar to move into the world of those creatures in order for them to see Him and for Him to see them. And the phrase, I see you. Would you go into your congregations? Would you go into your city? Would you go into your families as a grassroots revolution to see people? And would you allow them to see you? And you're not wanting to see them to get what they have. You're not wanting them to see you so that you can get what you want to get, which is, wow, they finally see you. That's getting, not giving. You want to become a people who become a grace of giving so that there becomes this grassroots revolution that is so diverse, so powerful, that it restores the speech of the Lord. Passion and compassion reveals His grace, the spirit of knowing, the spirit of into me, see. So there's no church in the Kootenays that's too dead.
Come on.
Come on. That's good.
There's no congregation that's too dead. You don't even have a death problem. Because when the doors open, the water flows from the temple. And there's the spreading of nets from the banks of really happy to really free. Everything we need for a grassroots revolution is in every church. Every church. And it's not opposed. It's not in opposition to your leadership. It's in agreement with what God is putting in the hearts of leaders, because leaders are a gift. But when leaders don't know, when you don't know who you are, leaders have a hard time seeing who they are. And when they don't see who they are, you have a hard time seeing who you are. So I think we just need a grace of, I see you.
Come on, it's good.
God, bringing water right now. He's bringing something that's generational. Something of a tree is growing right now that has leaves for healing. And if there happens to be something sick in the church, that's getting healed. So it can be the church. If there's something sick in the world, we know that it's supposed to be. We shouldn't be so busy healing the church that we aren't being the water that heals the world. But if we got some sick stuff, let's let the river flow. We get healed. Healing. The leaves. What's growing now? You've got trees, right? You know a little bit about leaves. They fall off. Then they come off. And if we've got trees that always have leaves, that's telling me it's spring. It's summer. It's life. It's healing. And what season is that? It's not winter. It's not past. It's not the dead season. It's the season of life. So we're not going to heal anything by trying to kill anything. You can't heal anything by killing it. You can't say, this is wrong. That's killing it. Doesn't matter what's wrong. There's no place that's too dead.
Come on, not even your heart. Come on.
Hey, come on now. God wants to bring some healing. Listen to this. This is in your family. Your kids aren't too dead. Your friends aren't too dead. You're a lot of people in the church who don't understand. You know what the problem is? They don't understand. Have you ever had those days? Even if they were in deception, you know what the thing about deception is? You know what the thing about deceiving is? It's so deceiving. That's the thing about it. Nobody does it on purpose. For goodness sakes, blind spots. That's just people bumping into people. Bumper cars. That's all that is. A bunch of bumper cars going around bumping into blind spots. So I want to grab my God as a grassroots revolution.
Yeah, come on. It's happening. It's
happening. Would you let this be imprinted in your spirit? So you don't hear God with your soul. When you hear God with your spirit, then your spirit flunks your soul. Stop trying to hear God with your soul and hear it with your spirit. And then let your spirit come alive. And when your spirit floods your soul, your thoughts will change. Your reasoning will change. Your strategies change. Your emotions change. Your desire changes. Your imagination changes. Let the one who loves you love you. And let it flood your soul. Would you let your spirit flood your soul? You're going to go to some, you might go to some church tomorrow. I mean, you already are the church, you can't really go, but we'll pretend. You go someplace they call church. Isn't it wonderful they call these buildings church? And God allows it because he lets the church go there?
Yeah.
So let me remind you who you are tonight. So tomorrow you can go to a congregation. Okay? You might even go to some place that doesn't. You might even go to some place that has fashioned weapons against Ted Hansen. Maybe they held a prayer meeting tonight to get Ted out of the city. Possible, I don't care. If I gathered a prayer meeting, somebody gathered to pray against me, wonderful. Somebody's praying. Thank goodness. Hallelujah. Something happened. I don't have a problem with it. I can't change what someone else does. I can only open the doors of who I am.
Come on.
So I think every congregation in the Kootenays is awesome. So let's just open up the doors. And let's not cause a rebellion. Let's cause a revolution. Let's cause a reformation. Let's bring forth something new in the midst of something that's old. And let's let the old and the new become a testimony that's true.
Amen.
What do we want? More. That doesn't mean what we have is less. It just means there's something now.
Yeah.
Change your thinking. Your heart. You're here tonight because you want more. So change your thinking now. If you thought, I want more because what we have is less. Change that mind. Okay? Look forward. Look to east. Look to west. Turn around. Look to the east. What's in front of you? Tree of life.
Yep.
Look to the right. Tree of life. What's to the left? Tree of life. Can't get around it. So every thought, every expectation, every vision is life, life, life. And so now, we're going to show up. We're going to show up. We're going to show up everywhere. We're going to show up in our workplaces. Show up in our families. Show up in our congregations. Show up with our friends. Show up with those who don't see us. But we're going to show up so that we can see them. And we're going to open the doors and let the floodwaters of life, not the floodwaters destroy them, but just the living waters of life come. And we're going to see more. Not something better, because the old is as good as the new. It's just old. Jumping jack flesh ain't bad. You can still cut a rug. You know what I'm saying? But it's old. Only gray-haired people are on the dance floor. Now, I want to see things change. Come on, maybe your congregation is full of gray-haired people. Only gray-haired people are on the dance floor. It's all right. But at the same time, if there's only young people on the dance floor, where are the gray-haired? God's doing the grassroots revolution. Yeah. So now, even that's stuck in individual things, not just in churches.
Okay.
All right, we're going to pray. Father, we are part of the congregations of the Kootenays. One body is several expressions of the rooms of your house. We have relationship with you. We have relationship with one another. Some of us live in a living room. Some of us live in a dining room. Some of us live in a shop, a workshop. Some of us live in a kitchen. It's your house. Lord, we represent the Kootenays. We represent the cities of this valley. And we welcome you in this place called now. We want more. And we say, concerning the things that have been, concerning the things that you're bringing forth, we say that it is not if or, it's both and. And we acknowledge that the things that have been wonderful. And if we could see them for where they came from, we would say again, wow, that's wonderful. But what you're doing is wonderful. And what you're doing is not better. It's more. We want more of this wonderful grace of your kingdom coming and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you release that?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Father, you can put your, I'm going to put my hand on me because it's Christ lives in me. So I'm just kind of going close. You can do it if you want. So I could be a little foolish. Or become like a child who's seeking things in the kingdom.
Yes.
God, tomorrow as we go into a part of congregations, would you let a grassroots revolution break out of us? Not to disrupt the service or cause any trouble, but to be present and engaged in whatever you're doing, both old and new, in that house. Would you cause us to have open doors with that river flowing out on us, flows through the tree of life, and it brings life and abundance. It causes there to be a rejoicing in the place of happiness, in the place of great freedom. And everything in between is nothing but life. Would you release that tomorrow? Would you do that this week in our workplaces?
Yes.
Would you make us more a message than those who preach? Would you cause us to be people who sinners and tax collectors would seek out because they feel better when they get around us?
Yes.
Lord, if there's anything in us that's religious, help us to wash that laundry so that we see before it became religious, it was real.
Yes.
And would you redeem that ancient thing?
Yes.
And if anything is reckless and rebellious, because prophetic things tend to stretch beyond pastures that we see, would you keep us from taking the flock to places too quickly that they can't eat? It's on the journey. Would you help us stay in the place called now, even as you're bringing the more?
Yes.
Would you bring forth this grassroots revolution, stay with your speech, your passion, your compassion, let the fire burn?